The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, friends. This is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you articles from Money.com, Kiplinger Personal Finance, and also AARP Bulletin. Our first article, coming from Money.com, Seven Things Getting More Expensive in 2025. Inflation isn't nearly the problem it was a year or two ago, but consumers will still have to brace for some ballooning bills this year. The overall annual inflation rate sits at 2.7% as of the most recent Consumer Price Index, or CPI, report. That's only slightly higher than the long-term target of 2%. However, if you're buying plane tickets, home insurance, or certain grocery items, you could be facing much steeper price increases. Prices on those goods and services are likely to climb regardless of what the incoming Trump administration does with regards to tariffs, which forecasts predict could separately cause price hikes on everything from automobiles to kitchen appliances. Here are seven things that are getting more expensive in 2025, even if there aren't major changes to the trade policy. First up, coffee. Do you run on coffee? If so, we've got bad news. Prices surged in November and December following drought conditions in Brazil, the largest exporter of coffee. Future prices for beans, which are grown in Central and South America, reached a record high last month. The recent drought, which was followed by heavy rain in the affected region of Brazil, is the latest in a line of climate issues that have led to higher prices, along with increased global demand. And eggs. The cost of eggs has increased more than any other item in the past year, jumping an eye-popping 37.5%, according to CPI data. In California, the average price of a carton of eggs increased to $9 in December, with the worsening bird flu outbreak largely to blame. Anyone who's gone to the egg section in a grocery store recently can see the problem is ongoing, and an additional double-digit increase in egg prices could come in 2025, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prices won't steady until supply is fixed, but officials say production likely won't recover until the second half of the year. Meat. Beef prices soared to record highs in the fall and remain just below those levels, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics data. Cattle prices have increased due to lower supply. In fact, inventory hasn't been this low in decades. The USDA's food price outlook forecast inflation of 3.8% in 2025 for the beef and veal index. According to the department's outlook, cattle prices will continue rising in 2025 because of low production. Grocery shoppers are also seeing rising prices for pork items, according to CPI data. Ham prices increased 3.9% from October to November, while pork chop prices went up 3.6%. And travel. Airline travel tickets are difficult to forecast due to volatile factors like the cost of fuel. But some experts think more expensive fares are coming in 2025. Flight deal site, Going.com, projects somewhat higher fares a year from now, citing airlines slowing flight capacity and budget airlines struggling. The American Express Global Travel Group forecast a 2.8% increase in prices for economy flights within North America, mentioning, quote, ongoing labor disputes and pilot shortages in a November report. And if you like Rolex watches, those are also going up if they're new. Rolex raised its suggested prices by an average of nearly 5% for 2025, and some Rolex watches, like the Daytona in yellow gold, had price increases of up to 14%. It's not just Rolex. Watch prices have risen across the board in the past year, with the CPI showing a 7.4% increase from November 2023 to November 2024. Record high gold prices are one of the reasons consumers are seeing more expensive retail prices. The used luxury watch market, however, has gone the opposite direction, with one index showing that prices are down 5.6% in the past year. Streaming services. Prices for some major streaming services will increase in 2025. One example, the base cost for YouTube TV's digital TV streaming will go up from $72.99 per month to $82.99 per month on January the 15th. Wall Street analysts are also predicting a possible Netflix price increase later this year. And lastly, home insurance. The cost of home insurance will likely increase again in 2025. But there is a silver lining. Premiums aren't expected to rise as much as they did in the past 2 years, according to Matrix, a insurance firm. The average cost of a new policy is $1,861, up from $1,469 in the first half of 2023. And here's an interesting article coming from AARP Bulletin. The rising cost of using a credit card. Even if you aren't carrying a balance, you might pay more. No, you're not imagining it. Increasingly so, you're paying more up front when you pull out a credit card. 69% of Americans surveyed by LendingTree in 2023 reported they'd paid an extra fee when using a credit card for a purchase. A smaller, more recent survey by WalletHub put that figure at 79%, with 85% of respondents saying that credit card surcharges made them feel, quote, nickel and dimed. And the size of those charges is on the rise. The typical credit card surcharge in 2019 added 1 to 2% to a purchase price, but climbed to 3 to 4% by 2022, according to the market research firm IPAS. As more people of all ages turn to plastic instead of checks and cash, merchants up and down Main Street, dentists, veterinarians, restaurants, and florists are turning to credit card surcharges and similar policies, such as cash discounts, to help recoup their cost. 10% of card-accepting small businesses charge a fee for using a credit card, up from only 2% in 2019, estimates the payment consulting group TSG. Among new merchants, as many as 20% have a surcharge policy, say TSG. Here's what to know about these charges and when it's best to avoid them. Businesses aren't fond of fees either. Most businesses don't like charging extra for paying with a credit card, says Doug Cantor, general counsel for the National Association of Convenience Stores. Customers get upset with him. Credit card surcharges may also reduce revenue, reports IPAS, which estimates they can cause debit and credit card sales to decline by as much as 10%. But some businesses see these surcharges as one of the few tools they have to cut costs, Cantor says. Facing rising labor costs and thinning profit margins, restaurants face a choice, says financial planner Shinobu Hendert. They can either raise menu prices or be transparent about the card fees. This is how much it costs. We're passing on this surcharge to you. Processing fees can be steep. As retailers fight card networks over the fees merchants pay to accept credit and debit cards, known as, quote, swipe fees, the size of their burden on merchants' bottom lines is a matter of debate. Credit card interchange rates, the part of the fee that goes to the bank issuing a card, have been flat for 8 years, according to Nick Simpson of the Electronic Payments Coalition, or EPC, a consortium of credit card users and payment networks. Data from the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas shows a similar trend, although fees for some credit types have climbed more than others. But data from the Nielsen report also shows that total card acceptance costs, including fees paid to other behind-the-scenes parties, have soared. And a 2024 analyst by consulting firm CMSPI found that U.S. merchants pay the highest credit card acceptance fees in the world, with the average fee at just under 3%. On the other hand, speaking for card issuers and networks, the EPC's Simpson notes that many merchants benefit from credit card payments because they're popular with customers and are more efficient to process. Rewards and convenience adds to the expense. Merchants' costs are also climbing because the way people like to pay has changed, says CMSPI chief economist Callum Godwin. The mix is moving away from cheaper to accept payment methods like cash, he says, to more expensive methods such as credit cards and buy now, pay later agreements. While younger adults are especially likely to ditch cash in favor of credit, people 55 and up are also using credit and debit more often. Credit card users who are focused on collecting rewards points or cash back benefits drive up merchants' expenses as well, since rewards cards are more costly to process, says payments consultant Richard Crone. The growth of rewards collecting gives retailers more incentive to add a surcharge, especially because some rewards enthusiasts will gladly pay it. They'll go through all kinds of weird gyrations in order to earn these points, Crone says. Rewards and surcharges don't mix well. It rarely makes sense, though, to pay a surcharge to rack up reward points. A new Visa rule, for example, caps surcharges at 3%. So unless you're using a 5% cashback card, and most no-annual-fee rewards cards offer only 1 to 2% back, your points won't cancel out a fee that high. You're in the hole every time, Crone says. Even if there is no surcharge, you'll also lose money carrying a balance month to month while chasing points. If you visit an establishment with a surcharge below 2%, then some credit cards, such as the 2 to 3% cashback card, could recoup the fee. When dining out, you might want cash or debit card on hand in case your credit card surcharge is too much. That said, for big retail purchases, paying with a credit card offers you greater consumer protection. And not all plastic is the same. Although debit cards tied to a bank account may look like credit cards, these cost less for merchants to process. Card networks forbid collecting a surcharge on debit card transactions, even if they're handled by a retailer just like a credit card. The same rule applies to prepaid stored value cards. Merchants can pay a hefty penalty for charging to use a debit card. But mistakes happen, says TSG senior associate Jeff Fortney, who himself has had to deal with a wayward debit card surcharge. If you're charged extra for using your debit card, Fortney advises, keeping your receipt and contacting your bank to request that the fee be reversed. And lastly, rules may vary by state. The legality of surcharges, their size limits, and their disclosure rules depend on where you are. A new California law, for example, requires any credit card surcharges, if they are imposed, to be included in the upfront advertised price, except in restaurants, where any surcharges to be added to the bill can be disclosed on the menu. Technically, only two states, Massachusetts and Connecticut, completely ban credit card surcharges. In contrast, discounts for using cash or other favored payment methods, a price break as opposed to a surcharge price increase, are allowed everywhere. In general, all merchants are supposed to disclose surcharges before you pay. Check your state laws to learn what's allowed, Hindert advises. If a merchant breaks the rules, you can complain to the office of your state's attorney general. And from Kiplinger Personal Finance, guard against identity theft in the new year. Scammers are getting better at impersonating legitimate businesses. What are the most common identity theft schemes? Our most recent contact center data shows that 51% of personally identifiable information, or PII, compromises, which take place when someone is trying to access your personal information, come from scams, with the most common types of scams being impersonation and employment scams. Impersonation scams occur when whoever is on the other end of the interaction is not who they say they are. They may say they're from Amazon and your delivery is delayed, or they may pose as a credit card representative asking whether you authorized to purchase. With job and employment scams, we're seeing fraudulent postings on legitimate sites such as Indeed and LinkedIn, as well as unsolicited text messages and emails from phony recruiters. What trends in ID theft do you expect to see in 2025? It's hard to predict the next global event, such as a pandemic or natural disaster, but that's what the scammers love to leverage. During those events, consumers know something is going on, but don't have a lot of information, and then they get a bunch of requests for money or information from scammers. Business impersonation, which occurs when someone claims to be from a company, such as Amazon or your bank, is going to continue to grow in 2025 because bad actors can easily purchase stolen personal information on the dark web and use it to seem credible when they contact victims. There are also a lot of social media account takeovers in which bad actors hack into someone's account and then reach out to their connections and friends to ask for donations and information. Social media companies aren't responding quickly enough to these takeovers, so people end up walking away from hacked accounts. We have a huge amount of accounts that are no longer in the original owner's control. What can people do to protect themselves from scams? Approach all digital communication with skepticism. If you didn't initiate the contact with an entity that is requesting information or money from you, go to the source and verify that it reached out to you. That may be calling the phone number on your credit card if someone purports to be from your card company, responding to voice messages from someone who says they're from your utility company by finding the company's number online, or checking the message center in your Amazon account if you receive an email or text message from someone who says they work for Amazon. Our recent data also shows that 16% of PII compromises were the result of lost or stolen items. So remember that your smartphone and other devices are just as important as your wallet, and you need to treat them as such. Make sure that a lock screen is enabled on all your devices, and use biometric authentication of your face or fingerprint. Enable location detector from your device and the ability to remotely delete information from it if it is stolen. Finally, freezing your credit is one of the most robust features and measures you can take to prevent fraud. What should you do if your personal information is involved in a data breach? You have limited options once your information has been exposed, but you can react quickly to news of a breach. The most important first step is to understand what specific data of yours was compromised. If your username and password were stolen, you should immediately change your password on any account where you've used the compromised password. There's a free tool on the website, idtheftcenter.org, where you can see whether a company has had a breach before you do business with it. You can also sign up to get an alert if a company you do business with experiences a breach in the future. And from money.com, have medical debt? Your credit score could increase under new policy. Millions of Americans may soon see their credit scores increase as new federal policies bar lenders and credit reporting companies from holding one's unpaid medical bills against them. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, finalized a rule on Tuesday that bans medical information from being used in lending and credit reporting decisions. The CFPB estimates that 15 million Americans could see their credit scores rise by an average of 20 points once the policy takes effect, which is expected to be in mid-March. People who get sick shouldn't have their financial future upended, said CFPB Director Rohit Chopra in a news release about the new rule. In April of 2023, the Big Three credit bureaus, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, already removed medical debts under $500 from credit reports in a self-regulatory move they say wiped out 70% of the medical bills that were plaguing people's credit. Still, the CFPB found that about $50 billion of medical debt remained on the credit reports of millions of Americans afterward. Credit scores and the reports they're based on are commonly used as a way for lenders, landlords, and employers to quickly check whether a person is likely to repay their debts. The watchdog agency says that medical debt is a particularly bad predictor of people's ability to repay a loan because the debt is rarely taken on voluntarily. Medical debt, the agency says, can have lingering and debilitating effects that keep Americans from the loans, housing, and even jobs that they need to survive. A 2023 report from the health policy nonprofit Kaiser Family Foundation found that medical debt was a major contributing factor for thousands of Denver residents facing homelessness or housing instability. Later that year, Colorado became the first state to bar medical debt from blemishing residents' credit reports. California and New York quickly followed suit. Now the entire U.S. appears to be following in those states' footsteps, but the new policy may be in jeopardy, given that the CFPB announced the new federal rule just weeks before President Joe Biden is set to leave office. Will Trump keep the medical rule in place? Though the CFPB finalized the rule on Tuesday, It isn't expected to take effect until 60 days after it's published in the Federal Registry, meaning sometime in March. At that point, Biden will be out of office, and President-elect Donald Trump will be in power. This gives Republicans and the Trump administration the ability to reverse the CFPB's rule before it's enacted. The crippling consequences of medical debt are widely felt, however, and the medical debt is looked upon unfavorably across the political spectrum. According to a 2023 survey from the Pew Research Center, 64% of Americans said the affordability of health care was a, quote, very big problem in this country today, including 54% of Republicans leaning respondents and 73% of Democrat leaning respondents. That said, the rule has already sparked some backlash. While the policies were undergoing the official rulemaking process last year, a group of Republican lawmakers wrote to the CFPB to express serious concerns about omitting medical debt from credit reports. They said doing so would provide an incomplete picture of someone's financial situation, harming financial institutions and ultimately consumers. Banking trade groups similarly wrote to Chopra and the CFPB voicing their disapproval of the rule. Even though the three big credit bureaus voluntarily removed medical debt under $500 from credit reports, a handful of industry leaders came out Tuesday against the CFPB's new rule to remove all such debts from credit reports. The CFPB lacks the authority to dictate what can and cannot be included on credit reports, Dan Smith, CEO of the Consumer Data Industry Association, said in a statement shared with Money. The CDIA is an industry trade group that represents the big three credit bureaus, as well as many other niche credit reporting agencies. Some advisors in Trump's orbit are not fans of the CFPB. Multi-billionaire Elon Musk is chief among them. Tasked with overseeing the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, Musk recently said he wants to, quote, delete the CFPB. DOGE is not an official government agency, and its recommendations to Trump aren't binding. Also, any creation or deletion of government agencies or departments require congressional approval. Even so, Musk's sentiment could provide a clue as to how Trump will view the CFPB in his second term. Ultimately, it's not clear how Trump will handle the new medical debt rule, and his transition team did not respond to Money's request for comment. And we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is also available on our website as a podcast, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, give us a call, 919-832-5138. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.